last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We started last Friday's programme by bringing you the news of Sinn Féin's decision not to go to Washington as part of the Northern Ireland executive to meet with Donald Trump as part of the St. Patrick's Day festivities. And there had been some speculation, some wonder, was the invite from Donald Trump going to come from Micheál Martin? Would the decision for him as to whether to go or not be removed by the fact that there wasn't even an invitation? Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, tell us about the nature of the invitation which has finally arrived.
Yeah, good afternoon, Matt. Yeah, so the formal invitation came from Donald Trump's office to government buildings and was formally accepted, the word emerged this morning. So Micheál Martin will travel to the White House on March the 12th, a full 5 days before St. Patrick's Day proper. And obviously, most of the people who are involved with this annual trip, be they Irish agencies like the IDA, Enterprise Ireland, were looking to, I suppose, formulate their entire work programme because it was all dependent on the access they would be given to the White House. So that can now all begin to be put in place. So we know that Donald Trump issued a letter to the Taoiseach formally inviting him for the visit. And, you know, he has congratulated or has been congratulated by Mr. Trump on his recent appointment as Taoiseach, and he's looking forward to working together. And we hear that the letter from Donald Trump also spoke about the special bond between the Irish and American people.
Which Irish people is that? Is that the Irish people that are still living under British rule in Doonbeg?
Well, I mean, he did refer to, you know, his property in Doonbeg in Ireland before saying, "I love your country," to Keir Starmer during their cat. So it may have been an inadvertent slip of the tongue, but rather than a full-on gaffe. But he has made that sort of gaffe before. And we do know that Donald Trump has travelled to Doonbeg on more than one occasion, even while as president the last time round. But we know, I suppose, from an Irish perspective, we know that the full programme, the normal programme, will continue. So that will include breakfast at the Vice President's residence in the morning. We know that the lunch at the Speaker's lunch on Capitol Hill will continue, which is now has become an annual staple. That first began way back in the 1980s with Tip O'Neill. And then there will be the customary exchanging or the handing over the bowl of shamrock to the President that evening by the Taoiseach.
And is that a poisoned bowl of shamrock, as in a poisoned chalice, that this isn't necessarily going to be an easy thing for Micheál Martin to pull off, that there now is a certain degree of tiptoeing needed by any foreign leader going into the Oval Office?
Well, I mean, if you were to look at Keir Starmer's performance yesterday, he was certainly trying to do his absolute best to try and plumasse Donald Trump, pulling out a letter from the King in a sort of slightly cringeworthy display of sort of, you know, love me and come to Britain and, you know, we'll give you the second historic state visit that no one else has ever gotten. It was all a bit cringeworthy. But I suppose this is how you deal with Donald Trump. You have to plumasse him. You have to sort of doff the cap or bend the knee, whatever the phrase you might be. But for
and when does that tip over into obsequiousness? I mean, this is going to be the problem for Micheál Martin, isn't it? That people want him to stand up to Donald Trump, not to be ridden roughshod over. And yet, if he does that, that could have repercussions for Ireland. But if he also tries to be too cheery and nice with him, he'll get lacerated for it.
Yeah, well, I think there's the element that's in public, Matt, which is the one where they're sitting side by side. And that's where, I suppose, Micheál Martin's at gravest risk because, you know, we know he's not adverse to embarrassing foreign leaders while actually being in their company in front of the media. So that's where I think Micheál Martin will be on highest guard. I think behind closed doors, there's always a way of making a point, you know, so you can actually say it to the media that you've made your point, whether it be human rights when, you know, we've met with Chinese leaders in the past or making the point previously around kind of migration, etc. That, I mean, famously, Enda Kenny made the point about the story of immigrants and the importance of immigrants in terms of an Irish context when he was in the White House before to Donald Trump. So, I mean, it has been done and it can be done without, I suppose, necessarily rubbing the president's nose in it. But for some, that won't be enough. For some people, only a kind of a refusal to go would be good enough. But from an Irish business perspective, from an Irish economic business perspective, you know, this is a hugely important visit every year. You know, the access that we get every year is incredibly, I suppose it's unprecedented for a country of our size. And it, I think, would be foolhardy at best, I think, from our perspective, to give that up purely you don't like the current incumbent. We've seen this before with other presidents. I mean, when George W. Bush was an occupant of the White House in around the Iraq War, there were similar calls for the then Taoiseach Bertie Ahern not to go to Washington. But he obviously went because that relationship, that special relationship that we have and that access that we get every year is not something that we should be giving away lightly.
We may have a small population, but we actually have massive investments in the United States. We're the seventh big foreign investor in our corporate sector. We also have an enormous trade, albeit much of that trade might be American multinationals sending stuff back to the United States. But how difficult is it going to be to negotiate the fact that we are part of the European Union, on which he is threatening tariffs? And we're not really in a position, are we, to sort of deny our membership of an EU, which Trump is now deliberately targeting, as in some way have been some sort of hostile power designed to do damage to the American economy.
That's where I think the argument is going to get most difficult, because, Matt, we know, you know, Ireland is not universally popular in Europe for our low corporation tax rate. So, you know, the French and the Germans have been after us for many years to try and get us into line. And, you know, the sort of OECD process that brought our corporate tax rate from 12.5% to 15% was a sort of way of finally putting manners on countries like Ireland. But again, you're absolutely right. We're a very proud and long-standing member of the European Union. There's no sense that Micheál Martin is going to try and distance himself from being in the European Union. So I think he's trying to find a way. I think what we'll see is, he will articulate and emphasise and try to, I suppose, point to the level of US investment in Ireland, but also the level of Irish investment in terms of the amount of Irish companies trading and basing themselves in the United States. I think what you're likely to see is, you know, an Irish company, namely Ryanair, is like, if not the second or the third biggest purchaser of Boeing planes. I mean, that could be a very powerful weapon to use in their discussions if it comes to it. So I do think Micheál Martin's not going in with no cards to play. I think he will have a strong enough hand. But again, it all just depends on the sort of mood that Donald Trump or it takes. He, you know, at times, even I remember when Leo Varadkar first went over to meet Donald Trump, there was a lot of nervousness around the dynamic between the two because of Leo Varadkar's open homosexuality and, you know, particularly with Mike Pence, etc., his then vice president. But Donald Trump was very, he was very courteous at the time. There was no issue ultimately on that one. So
he tends to operate differently, doesn't he, when he's in the presence of people. He's all fire and brimstone when he's doing a speech or when he's doing a solo press conference. But the minute you put him beside a different world leader, he seems to moderate himself. He's not perhaps as brave or as quick in his retorts when they come back to him. That's something I'm going to go to Nick Ferrari about in just a few moments. But I want to ask you about something else, Daniel McConnell from the Business Post. Jim O'Callaghan today announcing that he had deported 32 people to Georgia on a special chartered flight. I don't think it's the first time there's been a chartered flight taking people out of the country, but at the same time, does this suggest that this government is going to be seen to be more proactive, perhaps, on ensuring that people with deportation orders are made to leave the country?
I think so, and I think the tone and tenor of Jim O'Callaghan's interview on Morning Ireland this morning made that very clear. He says while he doesn't derive any enjoyment from this, but it's part of his function as the Minister for Justice, that we have an effective immigration system, and if you have been served with a deportation order, you must leave the country. I think what he's trying to do is, I suppose, use this as a disincentive for people who are being subject to such orders to say they essentially want them to leave voluntarily. Like the cost of this flight was over €100,000. They chartered an A320 to bring the 32 individuals back to Georgia. You know, I think some cooperatively, some probably less cooperatively, but we know that the plane landed safely and all the members who were on that flight departed safely, so there was no issue kind of in transit. But he made it very clear that, you know, we have to have a rules-based system, you know, and if you've been subject to a deportation order, you must obey by it. And I think the whole status of Georgia becoming a safe country, I think what he was making the message very clear is that if you're coming in from Georgia, you can't essentially look to stay in Ireland. Like, I mean, you have a safe country to stay in the first place in Georgia. So I do think it is a notable stepping up. It's a tangible, stepping up of enforcement, which the previous government, I think, did leave itself open to. I think we had heard a lot of talk around a rules-based system, but enforcement always tended to be weak. And I think one of the issues that came up during that interview was the number of deportations actually issued versus the number actually kind of enforced or moved upon. So there is a cohort of people who are not, we don't know whether or not they've left the country. And Jim O'Callaghan himself said he was unaware or unsure of their status. But we know that they have, they have not all been subject either to a voluntary eviction, or they haven't removed themselves, or they were enforced. But, I don't think this is a long-term sustainable policy that you could spend up to €1 million or €100,000 to deport 30 people. Like, if you were to start doing that, it would become very, very expensive very quickly. But I think this is all about sending a message that Ireland is going to crack down on this, that if you shouldn't be here, the government will actually move on you.
Okay.
Whereas we previously haven't.
There's a listener question going back to Trump that I want to put to you. Is it true that we will be issuing an invite for a reciprocal return for Donald Trump to come to Ireland? We may not have a King Charles to attract him, but could it be that the government would ask him back, and what would it do if he said yes?
Well, I think it's quite, I think that's expected, given the fact that he does own a property in Doonbeg, that he would be subject to an invitation here. I think there is probably, for diplomatic niceties, etc. like that, it's a way of sort of maybe softening the cough of a sitting US president. But also as well, I think, the standard line we've always heard from government buildings here in Dublin, when there's been controversy around a particular president or prime minister from another country, is, we look beyond the individual, we look beyond the personality of the current incumbent. It's much more a substantial relationship between our two countries and peoples, and therefore such visits are appropriate and therefore symbolic. So okay. I think it's quite possible that would happen.
Thank you very much for that. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.